Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED.
From KQED in San Francisco, I'm Alexis Madrigal. Hey, real summer has arrived in the Bay Area. Even San Francisco is going to hit 70 every day this week. And just about everywhere else in the Bay Area, it's getting legit hot. So, for today's show, we're going to bring you an edition of All You Can Eat, our regular feature on the Bay Area's food cultures with KQED food editor Luke Tsai. And it's going to be all about what to eat when it's hot outside. We're going to be joined by chefs from different traditions, and of course, we expect you all to call in and tell us, when it starts to get sweaty, what do you make for dinner? What takeout do you crave? Is ice cream a good replacement for all of the major food groups? That's all coming up next after this news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Alexis Madrigal. As places go, the Bay Area is not known for its heat, thanks to Carl the Fog. It's no Chennai or Cartagena or even New York. But that doesn't mean that we don't need some hot weather food for those rare days when you don't need to layer, can roll around in a tank top even after the sun goes down. Also, let's be real. Many Bay Area people, like myself, are big babies about the temperature. It hits like 80, and we start complaining and looking for ways to cool down. So here to talk with us about the world's best things to eat when it's hot, we're joined for this segment of All You Can Eat by KQED food editor Luke Tsai. Welcome, Luke.
Thanks so much, Alexis.
Do you want to just set us up before we bring in the rest of our guests? Sort of like, what is it about hot weather that changes the way we eat?
I mean, I think living in the Bay Area, none of us have air conditioning, you know, so even if we're not as hot as some other places, you know, like you said, if it gets up to 80 degrees and we're coming up on that stretch of September and October when it gets really, really hot, you know, those sort of 5 or 6 days of the year. And you just don't want to cook, you know, you just don't want to turn on the stove. You don't want to turn on the oven. Your body's just like slicked with sweat, you know, and so I'm looking for foods that I can just eat standing in front of the fridge, you know, or if I'm going to go to a restaurant, I don't want to bring home something that's, you know, going to make me
hot.
Yeah. Although, there's some exceptions and we could talk about that later. But for the most part, I'm looking for something that's going to cool me down. I'm looking for something that's, you know, cold and bright and tangy and, you know, something that's just going to make me feel refreshed afterwards.
Yeah. All right, let's bring in some guests. First, we're joined by Nora Haron, executive chef at Sandai Restaurant and Kopi Bar, which is opening up in Walnut Creek in the fall. This is among her many other food ventures over time. Welcome to the show, Nora.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everybody.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. And we've got Christian Reynoso, a chef, a recipe developer, cooking columnist at the SF Chronicle. Welcome, Christian.
Hi there. Thanks so much for having me.
So why don't we just talk a little bit about sort of what we're eating right now when it is hot. And Christian, maybe let's start with you.
Yeah. So I think about a couple things. One of them is tostadas. They are, you know, the crispy corn tortilla that can be topped with just about anything. But in summer, they're particularly great because you can add room temp or cold things and they just taste just as great as, with warm hot toppings. Mm. So the other day I made, BLT tostadas. So I had some mayo that I added some salsa matcha, which is that dried chili in that salsa, and kind of made like a salsa matcha mayo, added some heirloom tomatoes, some bacon, and then some greens on top. And it was like the perfect summer weather bite.
That is good. Also portable, very portable.
Very portable. Also great with margaritas, which are also great in the summer.
That is true. Nora Haron, how about you?
Hi. So I'm from Singapore, right? So I'm supposed to be okay with this heat, but I'm not. I'm also, like everyone else, a baby. Okay. So I've been drinking or eating grass jelly soup. Have you heard of that?
I have not. Is it actually made from grass?
It's actually an herb. It's a Chinese Masona herb. So it comes in black or green. So green is, it's made from fresh herbs, and the black is oxidized, you know, dried herbs, and then boiled. And then it has this natural jello-like texture. So and then you just add a little sugar. But I grew up eating this jelly cold, but recently I've experimented with eating it warm, and surprisingly it has these properties that cool your body down. And I think when you drink something hot, your body naturally will, you know, you sweat, and it's supposed to cool you down. So I want to thank my cousin. So I had COVID back in January, and she DoorDashed me this warm grass jelly, and I've been drinking it since. And for food,
wait, you know, Nora, where do we get grass jelly? Like, if I wanted to.
So I've been door dashing from Meat Fresh. They're in Chinatown, but you can get them anywhere, any boba shop. But they also sell the powder that you can get online, and you can make it yourself. It'll just set, you know, after like an hour or so, and then you can drink it warm or cold. And you can add other things to it. I like to add peanuts, or, you know, like a little taro paste or something like that. It's so good.
Oh man, I got to try that. And what about, you said you're eating other things too. What were you going
to
mention?
Yeah, so I like to make a traditionally Indonesian salad called urab. And it is, so you marinate coconut with a little bit of chili, ginger, you know, and turmeric, coriander, and my secret ingredient, the makrut lime leaves. That gives it a nice zinc and freshness to it. And then I like to just, you know, mix it with fresh Brussels sprouts, so any vegetables that I have, and then eat it that way. I can put it over rice, or eat it as a snack, or put it in my tortilla. So good.
That's so good. Luke, how about you? Round the horn here.
Yeah, no. You know, I've talked about a lot in the past, you know, my family background. On my mom's side, we're from Taiwan. On my dad's side, we're from China. You know, so Asian people, you know, we eat, when it's hot, we eat a lot of cold noodles. We eat some cold soups. You know, a recipe that I've been really into recently, there's this food blog. I think a lot of our listeners have probably heard of it. Like, it's called Just One Cookbook. Basically, if you Google how to make any Japanese thing online, that's the, you know, Just One Cookbook. That's the blog that's going to come up. And I believe the food blogger is actually based in the Bay Area. But she has this recipe for Japanese corn soup, or Japanese corn potage, which you can have hot or cold. During the summertime, I've been doing it cold. And it's just, like in Japan, I guess you can buy it just in vending machines. They'll sell it. It's like super, super popular. School kids love it. It's very like nostalgic, and it's just like you buy like sweet summer corn from the farmer's market, and just like cut it off the cob. You boil the actual cobs in water too to get in all that corn flavor, and then you roast the corn in the oven, and then you just sort of blend it all together and strain it. And then you've got this really sweet, concentrated corn soup that you can chill, and you can just drink it like a beverage. And it's just really, really refreshing. And the other thing that I do a lot of during the summertime is I just, you know, I eat a lot of rice. And during the summertime, I'm just looking for things that I can eat with rice that don't need to be cooked. You know, so like I do a lot of chirashi bowls. This is like just taking like fish, raw fish. You know, I go to like Tokyo Fish Market in Berkeley, or Tsuruki if you're down in the peninsula. Down in San Mateo is another great one. Just cut it up and just like sushi style, and just serve it over rice. Or there's this other recipe from Eric Kim, this New York Times columnist. He does this tuna mayo rice bowl. You just take a can of tuna, mix it with soy sauce, sesame oil, kewpie mayo, sprinkle some furikake on top, Eat it over rice with some seaweed snacks so you can make like little rice balls as you're eating. Just like the perfect summertime lunch.
Oh, man, that also seems like a kid crowd pleaser too. At least my children who love all the things that you've just listed. You know, for me, I'll answer this one myself too. I just, you know, I get so into the garden tomato and cucumber salads, you know, with little thin strips of basil, you know, some Maldon salt, some olive oil. But I'm also always chasing this one, the high of this one salad that I had like, you know, 5-6 years ago that a friend made, which was, you know, kind of big chunks of avocado and cucumber with kind of this garlic paste, you know, just kind of taking the garlic and creating a paste out of it by sprinkling salt on it and kind of running the knife to create this kind of paste. And then the secret ingredient, as far as I'm concerned, to all summer foods that I love, which are Jimmy Nardello peppers. Mm. They're just that one thing that when you see them at like Monterey Market, where you can, you know, get them sometimes in Berkeley and some other places or farmers markets, that's when I'm like, this is summertime now. Do any of you have like one of those kind of farmers market ingredients where you think to yourself like, oh, this, now this is here in the market. Now this is officially like warm weather cooking time. Christian, maybe we'll test you.
Yeah, I mean, definitely tomatoes. Like, seems pretty obvious, but tomatoes, I feel like I have them in almost every single meal in the summer in some way. definitely in salads and pasta salads, et cetera. Those are mine.
Yeah. Nora?
Yeah, same here. Tomatoes are in season. It's definitely my to-go. And, you know, we also roast them and put them in our sambal. I know I say chili a lot. It's not a cooling element to most, but it is for me because it makes me sweat and I cool off. But we do a lot of sambals with tomatoes and I just love them in the summer. And then, you know, yeah.
Yeah, there's something about seeing that, you know, that just piles of early girls at the farmer's market where you just, that color of just all those amazing tomatoes. Luke, how about you? Do you have a single kind of like produce type ingredient?
Yeah, I mean, definitely tomatoes and corn, like I mentioned, and also just watermelon, you know, like there are days when like that is just the meal, you know, I literally, because I have a small fridge, like a lot of people in the Bay Area, I literally have to like rearrange the shelving in my fridge so that I can fit the watermelon in there. Let it cool for a day and literally just slice up a watermelon. That's dinner.
That is so good. Yeah. We're going to go to the break here. We're talking about what to eat when the weather gets hot. We're joined by Luke Tsai, food editor of KQED, who does All You Can Eat with us. Nora Haron, executive chef at Sandai Restaurant and Kopi Bar, which is going to open in Walnut Creek in the fall. And Christian Reynoso, chef, recipe developer, cooking columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle. We want to hear from you. What's the summer food you wait all year to eat? Or what's your favorite food to cook when it's hot? You can give us a call, 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, it's KQED Forum. And the email is forum@kqed.org. Can't wait to hear from you. I'm Alexis Madrigal. Stay tuned for more after the break.
Support for Forum is sponsored by Stanford's Master of Liberal Arts program. Have you found yourself reflecting on your life and education? Perhaps you think it's too late or you're too busy to earn a master's degree. Stanford's part-time MLA program is designed for anyone, from recent college grads to retirees, who'd like to pursue an interdisciplinary course of study in the liberal arts. MLA students also enjoy access to the world-class facilities on the Stanford campus. Information session held May 16th. Learn more at mla.stanford.edu.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Alexis Madrigal. We are talking about, in this latest edition of All You Can Eat, our food ongoing series that we do with Luke Tsai, food editor of KQED, we are talking about what to eat when the weather gets hot. In addition to Luke, we're joined by Nora Haron, executive chef at Sandai Restaurant Kopi Bar. That is opening very soon in Walnut Creek, as well as Christian Reynoso, a chef, recipe developer, cooking columnist at the San Francisco Chronicle. And we kind of like do these food shows as a little party. So let's bring in Amud Chopra. He is the second generation owner of Vic's Chaat. Welcome.
Did somebody say party?
Yes, we did. We did. I love these. We get so many food people together, and I get so many good ideas from this. So how about you, Amud? Like, you know, you could obviously go to your own restaurant and have the delicious food there. Is that when it gets hot? Is it? Do you think, like, I'm going to eat what we normally make here, or are there special things that you go to?
Definitely gravitate towards a lighter spice level. Gravies with ghee and meats, red meats, those tend to go out of the diet. And summer squashes, okra, lentils, those tend to come in.
Go ahead.
My favorite part of summer are the fruits, mangoes and lychees that get flown in from India. And yeah, those are my childhood memories, and that's what I look forward to come summer.
What about, how do you feel about stone fruit? Which I was shocked nobody mentioned in the first segment, and which is such a part, I feel like, of this of the Bay Area. You know, when it's foggy outside but it's hot in the surrounding areas that grow this fruit, like that's what you start to get, where you start to go like, okay, the fog time will be over soon. Go ahead, Amud, and then we'll go to you, Nora.
Nora, selamat pagi, adiku Nora.
Oh, namaste, Amoji.
Thank you. Hey, G was for my father. I'm still Amod.
Oh, namaste, Amod. Bye.
I feel that all fruits are welcome, or most fruits are welcome, come summer. It's lighter. It's more flavorful, mm-hmm. and it just seems refreshing.
Yeah. Last thing before we come back to you, Nora, I feel like my kids, when it gets hot, they want lassis. They love them, and it's just a piece of, like, you know, I think they also know we're a little softer on it than if they were to ask us for, like, a milkshake. You know?
That's right. Lassis are very popular both in India and here come summer. Mostly in summer, salty and sweet lassi. Salt is a pretty key ingredient come the summer months. Lemonade has salt in it. Lassi has salt, at least the salty version does, because the salt holds on to your liquids. As you sweat more in summer climes.
Nora, back to you on fruit, I believe.
Right. Sorry about that. So we make rojak with fruits. Rojak literally means mixed, to mix together. So when you mentioned stone fruit, yeah, this summer we've cut up so much stone fruit and made rojak out of them. Also, I wanted to mention, I forgot about tapai, which is fermented rice or fermented tapioca that we also do back home. And then I am going to do them this year at Sendai. It's also refreshing, something I look forward to making for the restaurant.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Let's bring in a caller, Gwen in San Francisco. Welcome, Gwen.
Hi. You guys forgot okra, maybe because you're not from the South. But okra is a good summer food, and I usually eat it with corn, boil it together with corn and tomatoes, and it gets the slime out. The slime doesn't bother me because I grew up with it. But one of the cooks on TV said lemon. I don't know if that's true. And your stone fruit dessert is cut up some white peaches or nectarines and marinate it, or whatever you call it for fruit, in balsamic vinegar, and that makes a nice summer salad.
That sounds so good. Christian, what would you say it would be a great okra recipe that people could take for them in this warm weather? Thank you so much for that call, Gwen.
Yeah, of course. I would say maybe a curry. I think kind of like adding that to a kind of a sauteing that and folding that into a curry would be really, really delicious. You know, something that we talked about is that heat. And so the spices and a kind of a saucy meal like that can really showcase the okra itself and with other vegetables and, you know, just kind of cool you down, because for some reason, spicy food does seem to cool you down.
Yeah.
And so does chai.
Yes.
Oh, wait, talk to me about how should I chai and other hot beverages cooling you down? What if I already sweat? Do I need to sweat more? I'm just not sure. I don't know. Every time I have tried to do this, it's like when people also tell you to take a hot shower instead of a cold shower in warm weather. And I'm like, but then I'm just like doubly sweaty. But does it work for you, Amud?
Absolutely. All day long, tea in the hot season. It takes your baseline and makes you sweat more, which supposedly is meant to cool you down.
Yeah.
So chai it is for me.
Luke, I want to ask you about the other end of this perspective, which is the cold noodle realm. Like it seems like many different cultures have a version of this, of really possibly even icy cold noodles.
Yeah, absolutely. I've talked a lot on air about that's something that I grew up with. You know, my mom's garlicky peanut butter cold noodles, which she would make on hot days. And I would literally just in my like boxer briefs, just stand in front of the refrigerator and eat it straight out of the Tupperware, you know, it's just nothing could be more cooling. But I think especially in Asian cuisines, sort of every food culture has its version of that, you know. So whether about, you know, I could just shout out a few of my favorites here in the Bay Area, you know, whether you're talking about cold soba, Japanese soba, which you have with just like a dipping sauce. They do a great version at Soba Ichi in West Oakland. You know, Koreans have mul naengmyeon, which is these very sort of stretchy, elastic buckwheat noodles that are served in this like icy cold, like literally there'll be versions that they put ice cubes in it. This icy cold vinegary sort of beef broth. And they put like cucumbers and thin sliced beef and hard boiled egg in it. And it's just, it's exactly what I think of. Like, that's like the thing that I think of when it's too hot to think of anything else, because it's bright and acidic and cold and refreshing. Or you can even think about, like, it's not necessarily a cold noodle, but like at ramen shops, sometimes they'll have tsukumen, which is like the dipping ramen, where instead of a hot bowl of soup, you have kind of this sort of room temperature, like concentrated gravy almost that you're dipping the noodles into. Taishoken is a spot in San Mateo that does a really good version of it. And again, it's not quite cold, but it's definitely not that hot bowl of soup that you're normally getting. But I also want to go back to what you were talking about, like eating hot things during the summertime, during hot weather, you know, because I think counterintuitively, like I think a lot of the Asian cuisines too have that. And so you were talking about hot drinks, but I think hot soups also, you know, like growing up Chinese, in a Chinese family, a lot of times you have these hot soups with all these medicinal ingredients in it. Like one of my favorite things is Korean samgyetang, which is this Korean chicken ginseng soup where you have like a whole Cornish game hen that's stuffed with rice and all these aromatics inside of it, served inside of this literally boiling hot sort of cauldron of soup. And in Korea, they literally eat that on the hottest day of the summer. Like that is the day that you're supposed to drink this soup. And I think the idea is, you know, a lot of the other guests were talking about this, you know, making you sweat to feel refreshed, but also you're already sweating. And the idea is these soups have a lot of healthful ingredients that are sort of replenishing a lot of the nutrients that are otherwise getting sweated out of your body. So it helps you to recover and feel better afterwards.
And I guess it's true. If I think about times when I've had like sopa de lima, there have been times where I've been like, I think this helped. We also have a few shout outs for Mul Nang Mian. I think I got close there. Grace writes, in hot, sticky days in Seoul, nothing beats it. Cold soup with noodles. Crushed ice is added to the beef broth. There are springy, chewy noodles, a julienne of cucumbers, a slice of cold meat, a boiled egg. You add vinegar and hot mustard. There's a refreshing coolness as you sip the cold broth, and the vinegar and hot mustard clear your sinuses. I've enjoyed this meal sitting at outdoor pavilions, and everyone around you is wiping their brow. It is delicious and refreshing. Another person, Adam, tweets that that dish is the best. Chili, bright, tart, and delicious. Let's bring in Danielle from Berkeley.
Hello. Hi, this is Danielle.
Hey,
I like your show.
Oh, thanks.
I've been a worker owner at Three Stone Hearth on University Avenue in Berkeley for about 12 years, and in the summertime, we like to make gazpacho with all the farm fresh tomatoes. And we also make salads in a jar. So we have a Mediterranean and a Caesar salad. We also make like a chilled cucumber and herb soup. So I think our customers in the summer are looking for just some cold grab and go things. Yeah. And that's what we kind of try to focus on in the summer.
Yeah.
With all the fresh fruit and vegetables.
Yeah, that's a great, it's a great segue and a great way of, and thank you for that call. Great way of thinking about, sometimes it's not necessarily the food itself, right? It's actually where we're going to eat these things or how we're going to eat these things outside or hanging around the grill or other places. Nora, where is your favorite place to eat that's like not, you know, could be in front of the fridge, could be anywhere that's an unusual place you like to eat when it gets hot outside?
Definitely still outside for fresh air. You know, it gets, I don't have air conditioning like most people, so it gets really stuffy in the house. So yeah, outside on my porch and just, you know, enjoy my rojak, enjoy my gado gado. With fresh ingredients from the market. And, you know, I always have a jar of some sauce in my house and just mix it up and ready to go.
Yeah. Christian Reynoso, I made your ribs with the beautiful salsa verde. So good. And one of the reasons that I did it is I kind of wanted to, like, hang around the grill. That's, like, one of, you know, I think that is a time-honored tradition. What's the favorite thing you like to make when, you know, maybe you've got people flowing into your house or backyard or, you know, some park, and you kind of want to spend some time kind of sitting by the grill hanging out?
Yeah, exactly. One thing I like is to make these grilled mushroom toasts where I take really thick cut bread, oil it, grill it until it's crispy and chewy in the middle still. And then I just make like a grilled mushroom salad on top. So I'll grill like any kind of mushrooms. It can be wild or cultivated, and then toss them in a salsa. So like something like even like a cheese salsa. So like Parmesan and shallots and herbs. It's just really kind of like fun, a little unexpected and kind of like just really delicious for hot weather and being outside and sharing. You can cut them into smaller pieces. So it can be an appetizer, or you can have, you know, big chunking pieces that can be just your whole meal right there.
Yeah. Let's bring in Virginia from Alameda. Welcome, Virginia.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Sure can. Go ahead.
So I get super excited when the peaches and the nectarines start coming in because my favorite salad is to take peaches and a little bit of red onion and marinate them in balsamic vinegar and then put them on a bed of spinach with shaved Parmesan and toasted pecans. Makes such a delicious salad. I could eat it almost every day.
Oh man, that is so good. That's so I also love the stone fruit salad, particularly grilled. I have to say, I love a grilled stone fruit salad. Let's do another around the horn, starting with you, Amud, with your favorite salad to make in the summertime.
I am not from a salad eating culture. Our salads are basically onions and cucumber. What I do like making in summer is corn, roasting corn, and then putting some lemon and dry mango powder on it. That's perfect for summer evenings in my household.
Oh, that's beautiful. Nora?
It seemed like Amud, we're not a salad people, but our salad type things always have some thick sambal sauce on it. And corn is another favorite thing of mine. We make corn fritters that also dipped in some type of chili sauce. And again, gado gado is my go-to salad with whatever I can find, with some great tangy peanut sauce.
Barbara writes in with her what she calls her made-up salad: mango, jicama, peanut, a little jalapeno, shallot, dash of salt, and a blob of creme fraiche to bind it. I eyeball the amounts according to how many people are coming or how much to have for leftovers. Has it all: crunch, smooth, sweet, hot. Luke, do you eat salad, or are you like, you're like, no, no salad? And I guess what we're defining salad here is like may have lettuce or spinach in it, I think is how people are interpreting salad.
Yeah, I am not, anyone who knows me knows I'm not like a salad person per se. Like I will eat it, but I will very rarely get excited about it. But at home I make a lot of chopped salad, you know, like Italian style chopped salad. Like to me, a salad still has to have like big chunks of like salami and provolone in it and like this creamy dressing, and like I'll feel satisfied eating it. And like, don't give me a salad that's just like all leaves. Like that's gonna make me so sad. But I also want to shout out like my favorite restaurant salad. This is this tiny little spot in Richmond, this lunch spot called 2207. They serve this salad. Again, it has like grilled chicken with perfectly crispy skin on it. And it has, it's like harissa sort of marinated, and it's served, it's got summer stone fruits, it's got like radishes, summer corn, cherries, like fresh cheese, like all this stuff in it. And you toss it all in this like nutty tahini kind of sweet, spicy, nutty dressing. And that is like my favorite salad. That's like the only good salad as far as I'm concerned.
We're talking about what to eat when the weather gets hot with Luke Tsai, food editor at KQED, Nora Harone, executive chef at Sandai Restaurant and Kopi Bar, Christian Reynoso, chef, recipe developer, and cooking columnist at the San Francisco Chronicle. Amud Chopra, thank you so much for joining us. He is the second generation owner of the amazing institution in Berkeley, Vix Chat. Thanks so much. I'm Alexis Madrigal. We'll be back with more right after the break.
Support for Forum is sponsored by Stanford's Master of Liberal Arts program. Have you found yourself reflecting on your life and education? Perhaps you think it's too late or you're too busy to earn a master's degree. Stanford's part-time MLA program is designed for anyone, from recent college grads to retirees who'd like to pursue an interdisciplinary course of study in the liberal arts. MLA students also enjoy access to the world-class facilities on the Stanford campus. Information session held May 16th. Learn more at mla.stanford.edu.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Alexis Madrigal. It is almost hot in the Bay Area. And in some parts, you look at, you know, Concord, Livermore, it's hot. So we're talking about what to eat when the weather gets hot. We're joined by Luke Tsai, food editor at KQED, who, of course, always joins us for these segments, All You Can Eat on the Bay Area's Food Cultures. Nora Harone, executive chef at Sandai Restaurant Kopi Bar. And Christian Reynoso, chef, recipe developer, cooking columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle. We are loving hearing from you. What's your childhood hot weather food memory? Just the thing you remember from like eating as a kid when it was hot outside. Give us a call. The number is 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. Hot weather food memory. Get in touch on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, or KQED Forum. And the email is forum@kqed.org. We are now joined by a farmer, Martin Bornaneske, who has a local CSA, sells produce to restaurants, and there's wonderful things that have been written about him by different restaurant owners in the Bay Area. Welcome to the show, Martin.
Hi, thank you.
So for you as a farmer, what is the thing, what's the like kind of produce or the kind of green where you say like, okay, this is my summer specialty?
I would say that there's two. There's arugula, which many restaurants use year round, but particularly in the summertime with tomatoes and other summer fruits. Arugula is really a wonderful leafy pairing. And also little gems. Little gems have become quite the thing for so many people. You can do many different things with them, and it's got that nice crunch. But they're a little bit more petite than a heart of romaine. And one of the things that, you know, the chefs are telling me these days right now that they need salad greens because that's what people are ordering primarily. And so I'm selling a lot of arugula, mizuna, mesclun mix, baby lettuces, and a lot of both red and green little gems. And, you know, for a home cook, what I like to think about is the dual versatility of a little gem, both as a leafy green in a salad, but also, you know, when many of us are grilling in the summertime in our backyards and our decks and our patios, and to take little gems and cut them in half and throw that cut side down on the grill, and then have your blue cheese dressing or your Caesar dressing as a basting mechanism to then flip it over, and you're literally basting your grilled little gem with your salad dressing. And it works well with grilled vegetables and your grilled meats or grilled fish. And it's kind of a nice twist to have a grilled little gem.
Yeah. I remember there was a little while ago, maybe it was a year or two ago, who knows though, with the pandemic, where grilling iceberg became became a thing that people were talking about. Let's bring in another caller who has a great childhood food memory. Abigail?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, sure can. Go ahead.
Well, it's not really a travel memory. I'm here in the Bay Area traveling for work, which I do often, but I'm from Maryland, and our summer tradition is blue crab feast, where we buy a bushel of Maryland blue crab, steam it, just salt it to heck with blue, Old Bay seasoning. We get some corn, some hush puppies, and we sit there picking crabs for about 4 or 5, 6 hours. It's the best thing in the entire world.
I feel like Old Bay is such a thing for people in the Mid-Atlantic. It's like a whole personality to like Old Bay. It's actually, it's amazing. Have you found anything comparable outside of there? Because I've only seen those things in that very specific area. Have you ever found it somewhere else that's good or anything else that feels similar?
Oh, yeah. New Orleans and the Gulf have blue crab as well. They do, they do it a little bit differently with Cajun seasoning. But I think Maryland still trumps it. Yeah, so it's just my favorite thing to do in the summer. It's good food. It's fresh. It feels, it kind of makes you feel like a community. Uh-huh. And you're just sitting there talking and getting messy, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, I love those outdoor crab eating places in the Mid-Atlantic. Thanks so much for that call, Abigail. That's a perfect call. We got some comments coming in, and I'm going to throw these to Luke and our chefs here, some of these that are really kind of interesting. Jack writes, it is agonizing to hear a discussion of okra without a single mention of fried okra. No slime, just crunchy goodness. Martin, like, talk to me a little bit about okra, our second comment on this. Do you, like, how do you think about preparing it?
Well, actually, okra is something that is grown in a hot climate, usually in the Central Valley. And so, to be honest, I don't have a lot of experience with okra because I have a coastal farm.
Yeah. Oh, that makes, because you're in Salinas, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Luke, how about you? Do you have any special feelings about okra? Some people clearly do.
I like okra. I agree. Fried okra is delicious. You know, okra in gumbo is delicious. You know, I think fried okra, you know, obviously there are a lot of spots that do versions in Oakland. One of the famous ones, of course, is Soli Vegan, which has been holding it down. And that's possibly their signature dish is their fried okra. And yeah, it's like a way to have fried food that still feels a little bit wholesome and healthy, I guess.
Michael tweets, in summers, I like to grill a steak over mesquite just so I can have thin slices over a green salad full of tomatoes all week. I also like to grow zucchini to get ones big enough to slice for the grill or to stuff with a meatloaf mixture. They cook very fast on the stovetop. And we'll cook okra with lamb either in a curry or Greek style with tomatoes. All really good ideas. Let's go back to the phones. Kathleen in La Honda, welcome.
Yeah, I can't believe you haven't talked about Vietnamese food. Vietnam is a hot country, and there's all kinds of dishes that are perfect for hot weather. Like bún is a salad. It's mixed greens topped with rice noodles, cold rice noodles, topped by a protein like shrimp or pork or chicken, and with lots of herbs, Vietnamese herbs that are found in the Bay Area. And you have nước mắm, the Vietnamese fish sauce. So that's perfect for hot weather. And then, of course, there are the famous spring rolls, which are cold and also perfect for hot weather.
Yeah. What's your go-to place if you want to do takeout? You don't want to make it at home. You just want to just grab it and go.
Oh, well, I love several places on Clement Street in San Francisco. Like Little Vietnam Cafe has the best spring rolls. And, God, you know, I'm Vietnamese, but I can't remember the names of all the restaurants. But along Clement Street, there are several. I know David is the proprietor of a place. It's like between maybe 3rd and 4th Street, the 4th Avenues on Clement Street. But you can't go wrong on Clement Street.
Thank you so much for that call, Kathleen. Luke, do you want to talk a little bit about Vietnamese spots?
I wanted to echo that. And I think we were talking a little bit about in the sort of like dessert vein earlier. And so I think Vietnamese desserts and cold drinks is another thing that deserves a shout out. You know, we did this package on San Jose for the food section at KQED a while back. And so we had a freelance writer, Jacqueline Tran, who did a whole guide to this like world of Vietnamese beverages that they have down in the South Bay. And Je, which is, you know, I think Filipinos have halo halo, Vietnamese people have je. You know, it's just, again, one of these like sort of slushy crushed ice drinks that has condensed milk and all these different sweet beans and jellies inside of it. And again, they're all different kinds. Bamboo is probably like the most famous chain that's selling it, sort of based down in San Jose. But you can go to any of these like Vietnamese style boba shops and you can get je. And again, on a hot summer night, there's nothing more refreshing than that.
Yeah. Scott in Martinez, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi there. I was just telling your screener that my most vivid memory of summer, I grew up back in Maryland too, like the other caller, was the ice cream truck coming through the neighborhood, mainly the Good Humor truck. So when my kids were born, or not when they were born, but when my kids were like toddlers and little, we would make our own, you know, just like vanilla ice cream mostly, and then we would get these molds and you know, let the ice cream soften up a little bit, and then just like you know, they had the strawberry shortcake, you know, bars, and they had other kind of bars, and we just crush up some nuts and, you know, cut up little teeny tiny pieces of fruit, and we just dip the molded bars into the ingredients we had, and we would just like replicate the truck, because we lived in Mid Wilshire in LA, and the truck did not come through. Yeah,
man, that's a beautiful memory. There is an ice cream truck at least that goes around the East Bay. My kids run to it like little Pavlovian trained creatures. They hear the sound. It oftentimes it's playing Christmas music for some reason. If you're in the East Bay, you know what I'm talking about. I wanted to go to you, Christian, on ice creams, granitas. We haven't gotten a ton of those, and thank you for that call. It's a beautiful memory.
Yeah. I mean, granita is something that I love. And I kind of usually have, this thing in my freezer called Anytime Granita, where I just always have something that I've frozen and turned into a granita. And if you're not familiar with granita, it's, it's one of the easiest chilled desserts you can make. It's basically like an Italian ice, where you can take, fruit juice, but not even fruit juice. You can take, I made buttermilk granita the other day with brown sugar. Mm. And you can take raspberries, blend them, add some sugar, and then freeze them and scrape them into this like airy, icy goodness. And I like to have it just, anytime I'm wanting a little snack, middle of the night, when it's actually super hot out. And you can serve them in, chilled glasses, which feels kind of elegante, but also sometimes I just take the whole vessel out and I just, here's the baking dish with the granita in there, with the granita, and here's a spoon, guys, and just go at it. And just, it's kind of a shared family granita.
That's a great. Nora, how about you?
Oh my gosh. Growing up, we have chendol. Chendol is the base of chendol, just like granita. So currently what I do is I blend crushed ice with coconut cream, and then you get this beautiful slushy coconut, and then I use melted coconut palm sugar on top, and then just top it up with some red beans or chendol itself, which is tapioca and rice flour that is mixed with pandan, and then it gets sift through and they become like little wormies that you put on top. So good. And some crushed peanuts, but chilled coconut cream is like the best.
That is a good tip. Luke, people on Instagram and other places are calling out desperately halo halo. Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, halo halo. I mean, it's a sort of like a cousin of Vietnamese jie, which I was just talking about. But, you've got ube, ice cream, you've got flan, you've got crushed ice, you've got sweet evaporated milk, you've got all these sweet beans and other sort of chewy, gelatinous toppings. And you can eat it with a spoon or let it melt a little bit and drink it with a straw. But it's another classic summertime dessert. And can we, just listening to all these people talk about these cold summertime treats, I feel like we can't be in the Bay Area and not give a shout out. I live in Richmond. I spend a lot of time in Fruitvale. Like, we got to give a shout out to the paleta man and to the fruit carts. These are just like the workhorses of the summertime in the Bay Area. The paletas obviously are the fresh fruit popsicles, Mexican style. You'll find them a lot like in the parking lot of the BART station, like on a hot day out in Antioch or something. Like, that's going to save your life. and the fruit stands, like the classic mango with tagine and chili powder, that's like, I feel like as Bay Area as anything else. You find it on any street corner in Fruitvale.
Yeah. Martin, wanted to come back to you. There's a couple of comments coming in about different beautiful little salad-ish recipes. Marielle writes, as a child of the 80s, nothing screams summer more than the silver palette pesto recipe. My mom would make it during the height of summer. It still makes my taste buds dance with joy when I taste it. Still can't make it quite as well as my mom, though. Sorry, Marielle. Anna writes, one summer salad I haven't heard mentioned yet is panzanella. It's a chopped salad of soaked stale bread, onions, and tomatoes. It often includes cucumbers, sometimes basil, and is dressed with olive oil and vinegar. Talk to us a little bit about, the basils, the fresh herbs that come around during this time, which I do feel like are a big part of summer.
Yeah, well, I grow several basils and also a lot of mint. Mm. And it's surprising how, you know, mint and tomatoes are surprisingly good together as well. And panzanella, frankly, is one of my favorite salads. I often have stale bread around, and you kind of just break it up and throw it into your sliced or chunks of tomatoes with the onions and cucumber and olive oil. And one thing I've noticed when I deliver to restaurants is how many of the restaurants have used sherry vinegar in their salads. And it's not, it doesn't have to be an expensive bottle, but the flavor of sherry vinegar is really quite wonderful to bring these summer flavors together. And I also wanted to throw in a couple of thoughts about dessert. You know, I don't grow stone fruit, but I buy stone fruit to offer my CSA customers from farmers that I know. And, you know, stone fruit is so prolific right now and will be for the next few weeks. If we're talking about grilling, taking your cling-free peaches and cutting them in half and grilling them, and then putting a scoop of ice cream in the center when after you're done grilling is a lovely, easy summer dessert. And by, you know, tearing up some mint leaves to throw on it. And also, this last year, I've been growing fresh chamomile to put in my farm boxes so that you can make a fresh chamomile tisane. And people have been experimenting and using the fresh chamomile leaves and the fresh chamomile flowers in different ways. By you know, you could sprinkle some fresh chamomile petals onto your grilled peach, and it offers a really lovely flavor to that dish. And you know, it might be a little late in this season, but one thing I've learned is that chamomile grows really easily. It can grow in a potted plant on your patio. Yeah. And for you to have, you know, with your mint and your rosemary and your Italian parsley, I highly recommend adding chamomile as a fresh herb to have available.
Oh, that's beautiful. I did that, and now I feel ahead of the game. Thank you so much, Martin Bornanesc, farmer with the local CSA, sells produce to restaurants. We've also been joined here talking about hot food. Luke Tsai, food editor at KQED. Nora Harone, executive chef at Sandai Restaurant and Kopi Bar, which is opening up in Walnut Creek in the fall. Christian Reynoso, chef, recipe developer, cooking columnist at the San Francisco Chronicle. And rounding out the party, Amud Chopra, second generation owner of the wonderful institution in Berkeley, Vic's Chot. Thank you for all of your comments, all of your calls. That was so fun. I'm Alexis Madrigal. Stay tuned for another hour ahead with Mina Kim.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, the Generosity Foundation, and the Heising-Simons Foundation.
Do you love your local bookstore? Well, I have the perfect event for you. This Saturday, April 27th, is Independent Bookstore Day. It's a day to celebrate your favorite local bookstore. I'm Olivia Allen Price, host of the Bay Curious podcast here at KQED, and I'm popping in to let you know that we will be hosting an event at Green Apple Books in San Francisco for the occasion. Come out for an author Q&A about the Bay Curious book. We'll be playing some Bay Area-themed trivia. There will be prizes and so much more. And the best part, tickets are donation-based, and all proceeds go to the Prisoners Literature Project. Learn more at kqed.org/live. I hope to see you there.
Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.